City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Beautiful, dirty, dirty, rich, rich, dirty, dirty, beautiful, dirty, rich.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 192. I'm Amy Matheny. I'm here in Chicago, and I'm joined with my fabulous friend in Hollywood, Alexandra Billings.
Hollywood!
How are ya?
I'm good. It's beautiful out here. What's it like in Chicago?
You know, it's chilly, but it was sunshiny and beautiful today.
Oh, was it sunshiny?
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
It makes me very happy. I had some lesbianese gals over tonight. We played the polka. I won.
You did what?
I won the whole pot. I won.
You played polka?
Poker.
Oh, poker!
I hardly know her.
I thought you literally dressed up in little dresses and with those hats and did the polka.
Oh, the polka.
That's not what you meant.
I like the polka.
I don't. Although it's very Lebanese, the polka.
Yeah. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
That's right. It's St. Patrick's Day. All the people are drinking today.
Yes. There's a corner bar near my house where I'm recording my part of this. And it's open at 7 a.m. So if you ever need to get your drink on, my street's where you can do it, bright and early in the morning.
Are you kidding me?
And it's Irish.
Who drinks at 7 o'clock in the morning?
The Irish.
They just get up and drink at 7 o'clock. That's lovely.
Yeah. Do you have any part in you that's Irish?
I've had some Irish in me, but nothing to expect my family.
No, I definitely have Scotch Irish in me.
You look like that, though. You're fair of skin, light of hair.
Yes.
You know,
freckled.
You like Lucky Charms, so
I
it's
like
very
Lucky
clear.
Charms very much. Yeah.
It's very clear to me.
Yellow the hearts, Irish. Pink hearts, yellow diamonds. Hearts.
And blue roses.
Or whatever they are.
That's terrible what we're doing. Do you know, one of my best friends, Sheila O'Malley, like this kind of stuff drives her crazy.
Sheila O'Malley has been, we've promoted her blog when Mitchell was just on here.
She's a genius. I mean, she's she's just one of my dearest friends. And she's just, her blog is SheilaO'Malley.com. And it is the most literate, funny, insane, insightful blogs on the internet. Yeah. It really is just glorious. Yeah.
She was sitting in the room on my show about cougar porn with Mitchell. And I have to say, Sheila O'Malley's got great knowledge of porn as well.
Which I don't have that
after
knowledge.
Our
really?
Podcast with, you know, with Sheila observing. She was chomping at the bit to tell me all about porn tips, which she did. So she really, I mean, the breadth of her knowledge from politics to cougar porn is vast.
It's crazy because right now I'm telling you right at this very moment, she's watching the John Adams thing engrossed.
Yeah. It's TiVo downstairs along with the L Word, which I'm going to watch later. You're not a fan?
We're not really.
Well, you know, they just announced, this is a big thing, folks. So if you don't know this, I just got the 411 that Showtime has now ordered a sixth and final season of The L Word. So they're normally are like 12 or 13 episodes, and the final year, next year, will only have 8. So if you've watched this past week, you have the season finale next week, and then 8 more, 9 more. It's a countdown now.
And then it goes away.
We won't have a queer show, and we won't have a lesbian show on television.
Well, that is sad, actually. Yeah, and you're right about that.
It kind of sucks, because I was surprised when they took Queer as Folk off so quickly after 5
years.
Yeah,
it's very weird. You know, I just filmed a pilot about 3 or 4 months ago for FX that was directed by Ryan Murphy and produced by Brad Pitt. And I mean, all these hugely famous people. And the story concerned itself with, like, the lead character, Joseph Fiennes, plays a transgender person.
Oh, yeah. And we did a story on this. What is it called?
It's called Pretty Handsome.
That's it.
And they are really still, like, they can't make up their mind. They're not, you know what I'm thinking? And it's beautifully directed, and it was really well written, and all these Blythe Danner's in it, and Robert Wagner, and all these fabulous people. And they're like, yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe.
What's the climate like out there in LA since post-writer's strike? You filmed that before the strike, right?
I did. I filmed it before the strike. Well, it's very strange because television is completely changed now. There's no such thing as pilot season anymore. And, you know, everything is veering itself towards the internet because everybody's on their freaking computers like 24 hours a day. So in order for something to get on television, man, you've got to bring Judy Garland back from the dead. You've got to revive Ethel Merman's breasts. There has to be wee wee and hoochie. There's got to be so many bells and whistles to get any kind of television show right now on regular television that it's insane.
Or you have to have a really, really, really good writing team like Lost.
That's right.
Do you watch Lost?
I don't. I've only seen – it confuses the hell out of me.
Oh, Alex. It's going to go down as one of the great television shows in history. But you can watch it on DVD now. See, that's the wonderful thing. You don't even have to watch shows while they're in season. You can listen to your friends, realize you haven't watched it for a season, so you're behind, and then just go and rent the entire first season now. I mean, what did we used to do when we couldn't – like, what if it was 19-whatever and everybody was going, are you watching Mary Tyler Moore? It's so fantastic. And you hadn't watched the first 7 episodes. What would you do?
You know, it's really weird that you brought up Mary Tyler Moore because I was just watching this biography literally last night on The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh, wow.
It's, of course, one of the best television shows ever written.
Of all time.
And and they said that 30% of the human beings in the United States of America were watching Mary Tyler Moore on Saturday at 7:30.
Wow. Well, because it was an event, right? Like, television was an event back then because you couldn't miss. There was no TiVo. There was no running out and getting it on DVD or VHS. There weren't as many reruns. So when you were watching it, you had to be watching it.
Well, and there weren't any VCRs. They didn't exist. So, right. I mean, you either were sitting – they said that at the time, you know, ERA was big and, you know, Gloria Steinem was, you know, huge at that time. Not that she's not huge now, but, you know, she was extremely relevant during the 70s when this television show was on. And they were saying that women across the country were staying home specifically on Saturday nights to watch this TV show.
I'm sure they were.
And now that just doesn't happen anymore. You just don't hear about that. It doesn't make any sense to this generation. They're like, what? That's dumb. Why? Huh? It's like, you know, when you were outside your apartment, you put your key in the lock and the phone rang in your house. Like, you had to hurry. Yeah, because
and there was no caller ID either. So you couldn't really screen your calls.
No. You had to pick up the phone and find out who it was.
We're so lazy, aren't we? Now we're just like, I can control and micromanage my entire life, the information I do and don't want to get.
Well, not only that, but like if something goes wrong, like my cell phone went, like, you know, you're on a call and you're driving and you're eating and you're petting your dog and you're doing 15 things while you're driving down the highway, but you're also on your cell phone because
it's
important.
All illegal, Alex, all of that stuff, you know.
I know. Come on. So I'm on the cell phone and like the cell phone went out and I'm cursing and screaming at the cell phone like it can understand me. Like, you stupid piece of poo. Yeah. What the f-? You know, like, what? Yeah. What am I doing?
You can say fuck. Go ahead.
I can't.
Okay. You don't have to.
I feel weird about it because I feel like, you know, you and I were on the radio for so long, and I had to, when I put these headphones on, I have to stifle myself.
Yeah. No, we're going to free you up a little bit the more and more you come on the podcast. It'll happen. So talking about Mary Tyler Moore and talking about Lost, do you watch Project Runway?
I don't.
You don't. Do you know who Christian Siriano is, the young kid that won? Have you even seen him like spoofed on Saturday Night Live or anything?
I know nothing. I feel terribly out of the loop.
All right. Well, we'll connect you with some clips of Christian. But he's this young, gay, flamboyant, absolute prodigy. He's 21 years old, and he won the entire competition designing these over-the-top, fabulous, and he would say, fierce outfits. And he's just this wonderful energy, you know, right?
Yeah.
So one of his phrases on the show, and he didn't say it a lot. It wasn't his main phrase was fierce, or that's a hot mess, or, you know, I mean.
Wowee.
He's really hilarious. But he had this one time where he said something like, that's a tranny mess. And, you know, I was at this Gay Idol event this past week. We just started the Gay Idol. And on stage, since he had just won two or three nights before, and it was a really big deal, and Saturday Night Live spoofed him last weekend with Amy Poehler doing the whole Christian Siriano thing, and she hit the nail on the head. I mean, she totally pegged him. It was a hilarious skit. And so a couple of my judges said something about fierce, and then I was kind of imitating Christian as well, and I said something like, you know, come on up here, don't be a tranny mess, right? So down below me on the stage at Jackhammer, this blonde, beautiful woman says to me, hold on a second. And I just keep talking, right? Uh-huh. And this woman approaches me toward the stage. She said, did you just say tranny? Because I'm a tranny.
Oh.
And I looked down, and in my head, I said, no, I'm doing Christian Siriano. And she was like, well, wait a minute, because I'm a tranny. And I said, okay, hold on. I am friend of the G, the L, the B, and the T. So hold on. And it was one of those nights, and it was Jackhammer. So it was a bit of a kick and rockin' night, if you know what I mean. I mean, the event didn't start till 10 or 11 o'clock at night on a Tuesday, mind you.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So at break, I get off the stage. I calm her down in a really quick banter and got the singer on stage. And then I walked off on stage, and I said, is that Mimi Marks?
Oh!
It was Mimi Marks.
No, was it?
So I came back on stage and I said, we have a celebrity in the house. Mimi Marks, how are you? Walk over. We had a little moment. I gave her a My Fair Lady CD, Compliments of Broadway in Chicago, is giving us gifts. And I said, I would be horrified if you thought I was being disrespectful. And we kind of had a little moment. And then, you know, I ingratiated myself. And we talked and we laughed. And after the night, it was great. But I know you didn't see the show, but is that word as inflammatory if a gay person is saying it and means it as we had to go through the whole faggot word with Isaiah Washington? Or, I mean, could this kid have done something that will be detrimental? Because what I think everybody loved about him was he was so gay and so comfortable and 21 and so talented and had this whole language. I'm just curious what you think about that. I knew I was going to be talking to you 3 days after this happened, so I thought I wanted to ask.
Well,
as a transgendered person, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There's a couple of issues, and I certainly don't want to go on and on and on about it, but there's a couple of issues that you're talking about that I feel very strongly about, and they're very they're not very well received in the gay community, but I really couldn't give a rat's ass.
Okay.
I hate the word tranny. I think it's insulting, and I think it's demeaning, and that's me. I have to say that I was not of the Danny Noriega cult for the American Idol splash that he caused with his gayness.
See, I thought he was just a dumbass for not singing Patti LaBelle through the decades.
Yeah, I have a real problem with Americans who embrace these gay male stereotypes because they don't embrace gay female stereotypes. And the reason they embrace the gay male stereotypes is because the men aren't threatened by them. See, now, if you took someone like Arnold Schwarzenegger and all of a sudden he came out of the closet, that would be a whole different issue. It would not be about celebration or joy. It would be about, oh my goodness, he's gay. We can't really pay much attention to that because we don't have a box for to fit him in. And it's the same with the word tranny. You say tranny and people go, oh, right, the clowns with the makeup on. Oh, we know who they are. But if you take someone who's transgender and is a physicist or a professor or who works in the Senate, that's a whole different set of issues. You would never, no one in any community in their right mind would walk up to a United States senator and call them a tranny. But see, it's okay because you're saying it in this huge environment where all of us are accepting of these stereotypes. The gay community and the transgender community are still stuck in their own bullshit. And I don't find it funny. I don't find it free and joyous. I think it's a waste of time. I don't get it. And I don't like it. Now, having said that, let me also say that there is a part of me that does think it's funny. And there's a part of me that does think it's kind of great and that does think it's kind of joyful and that those stereotypes exist within our community. There are flamboyant men who dress as women who probably love the word tranny. And there are very, very masculine women who probably embrace the word dyke. I mean, so it's a real double-edged sword here. Here's what I say, just as a blanket for this whole speech that I'm doing. It's not the word, it's how you use the word. And it's not the stereotype, it's what you do with the stereotype. The difference between the guy that you're talking about and Danny Noriega, I think are two different things. The guy you're talking about sounds like someone who's really living in his own joy.
Yeah,
Danny
really
Noriega is a mean, spiteful, vindictive little homosexual who has decided that he is this person. I don't believe any bit of what he's doing is genuine. The way he acted on national television was disgraceful. And I think it's sickening that someone like Rosie O'Donnell is embracing that. And
well,
I hope she hears
what he
this.
Did you find disgraceful?
His whole neck twirling thing, finger snapping. It wasn't his voice. I think the guy has talent.
Yeah,
it was how he was reacting towards his criticisms, his critiques. He, instead of dropping all of that stuff and letting it hit him and absorb him, absorb in him and becoming a serious artist, he decided to play the finger snapping, neck twirling gay card. And that's bullshit. And I don't buy it.
Well, and it cost him, right? I mean, he picked two bad songs. I actually kind of felt like he was trying to, in a weird way, butch and sexualize himself up, doing an Elvis number and then doing Tainted Love, where, you know, he came on Ellen after he got kicked off and sang Carpenters quite beautifully. And
well,
yet,
it's like I said, Amy, he's got talent.
Yeah.
And
oh,
the thing
sure
that makes the thing that makes me mad is that he's pushing it aside to reenact this stereotype that he believes he is. Now, I believe there's a part of him that is this person, but I believe that he's losing himself in his own attitude.
But don't
he's
you think
playing
it's because
at
he's
an
so
attitude.
He's so young, and what he did, you know, he tried out for Idol the year before, and he made it all the way to Hollywood, and he got cut. And he said in an interview that he never came out and said it, but he said, I tried to change, and I cut my hair, and I did all this the first time around, and this time I came back and said, I'm gonna be me. And I think he swung the pendulum too far to the other way, overcompensating.
Right.
And I think it's because he's young. You know, I still think it's because he felt like he had to. It's, and I did this when I first came out, and maybe many of you listening can identify. But I remember right when I came out, I was uber gay. I mean, it was, I went into like uber gay, I'm a lesbian mode. And it was kind of like you met me. It was like, hi, I'm Amy Matheny and I sleep with women. And I really like it. And I'm a lesbian. And I'm a lesbian. And I mean, it was just, it was so in people's faces. And also probably because I pass as whatever that means, but it definitely in the 90s, I passed as straight, I guess. I don't know what that means. I feel weird saying that, but I just mean, I didn't cut my hair off. I didn't have any of the stereotypical. I wasn't wearing flannel. I was wearing heels. And this is, remember, years before Ellen came out, years before the L word. And I didn't want anybody thinking I was straight. Do you know? I like wore it on my sleeve, on my chest, on my forehead. And I would tell you who I was before you could find out who I was. And I just think maybe he got caught up in it. The interesting thing is that the Hernandez kid got kicked off this week, the week after everybody found out he was a gay stripper.
Yeah.
And I wondered, did that have an effect? But he also picked a horrible song and sang She Loves Me or what did he
say? Yeah, he did. That was crap.
And you were like, oh, you didn't have to go there. You know,
yeah, that was
you
crap.
Didn't have to do that because he did look desperate. And yeah, he also had a good voice. He didn't have a voice I enjoy, but he had a talented voice.
Yeah, he's got a nice voice. I guess my whole point is because the original word we were talking about was tranny, and I guess my whole point is any kind of stereotype rubs me the wrong way. And I'm not saying that we have to live in a world full of yin and yang. So there has to be one side of the scale and another side of the scale in order for, you know, most of us to fit in the middle.
Right.
My whole thing is it's not about the word. It's about how you use it.
Yeah.
So that's my whole thing about the word tranny. I mean, if you want to say, I've never had anyone say that to me and mean it. I mean, all my friends joke about it and I use it and I joke about it, but I've never had actually anyone in a professional or personal situation say that to my face or about me.
Right.
Because I really think that deep down we are all starting to understand that it's just not a polite term. You don't want to say that. Why would you say that? It would be like sitting with a gay man and using the word faggot. It just, you know, you just don't do. Do
and yet it happens. And yet it happens.
And yet it happens. And yet, you know, it's about you either spend your life trying to abide by grace and manners or you don't. You know, you have one or two choices. And I mean, there's times and places for both. So it's about the power behind the word, as far as I'm concerned.
Grace and manners. You know, we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick little break. And then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about some people who left their grace and manners behind this past weekend. Oh, it's just so sad. We'll be right back.
Christ.
Hello, radio listeners. I want to take you to a place far, far away, a theater. Go ahead, close your eyes. Unless you're driving, that would be bad. But otherwise, go ahead, close your eyes. You're walking into the theater. You're going to see that musical that all your friends have raved about. A musical that has received love letters from critics, tons of Tony Awards, and thunderous ovations every night. You settle into your seat. You are told to turn off your cell phones, and you do so. And then it begins. This marvelous, comedically inspired piece of theater full of delightful songs, madcap moments, and an ultimately moving climax. You laugh, cheer, applaud, and then it happens. You finally discover what that crazy, somewhat obscure title refers to. For at last, she stands before you in all her somewhat inebriated glory, the drowsy chaperone. Radio listeners, believe me when I tell you, you are in for an extraordinary treat. The drowsy chaperone. Unusual title, perhaps. Unforgettable evening, most definitely.
Coming to the Cadillac Palace Theater April 1st through 13th. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 17th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Court Theater reimagines one of the greatest musicals of all time, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel, now playing through April 13th. When carnival barker Billy Bigelow meets mill worker Julie Jordan, fate sends them both on a journey that spans heaven and earth as they explore the limits of love, human frailty, and redemption. For tickets, visit courttheater.org.
Writers Theater presents As You Like It by William Shakespeare, directed by William Brown. All the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. A courtship with a twist, men in exile, a melancholic wit, a clown, a lovesick shepherd, and the shepherdess who spurns him all swirl together in a wild romp. Some of the most charming scenes ever in this most perfect of comedies. For more about As You Like It, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Bronte by Polly Teal. This inventive drama explores the question of how a trio of Victorian spinsters could have written some of the most passionate literature of all time. Bronte plays now through May 4th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets and information, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumbo.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Blue Aluminum Bottle Maker.
Mr. Blue Aluminum Bottle Maker.
Your amazing creation allows us to keep our beer, our hands, and the Arctic ice shelf completely cool.
It's really, really cool.
The only problem we have taking a drink: removing our lips from the bottle after taking a drink.
My lips are stuck.
Sure, we need a beer this cold. Should we ever find ourselves running wind sprints at the bottom of an active volcano?
I'm on fire.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh frier of the frigid. Now, can somebody please pry this bottle from my frozen hand?
Mr. Blue Aluminum Bottle Maker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
A YouTube video of State Representative Sally Kern surfaced where she compared gays to terrorists or Islam. Kern, in her speech made earlier this year to a Republican group, says gays are a bigger threat to national security than terrorism, and that the homosexual agenda is just destroying this nation. The speech was first posted by the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund.
The UK is reviewing its deportation of a gay Iranian teen. The British government said it will reconsider its decision to deny asylum to the teen, who fears for his life if he returns to his home country because of his sexuality. Mehdi Kazemi, 19, was refused asylum in the Netherlands after his application for asylum in Britain was rejected in 2007. He is still in the Netherlands.
A panel charged to create a statement on same-sex relationships for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America recommended that marriage continue to be defined as between one man and one woman. However, they fell short of reaching a consensus on same-sex partnerships. The preliminary report doesn't condemn same-sex unions and added that historically Lutheran teachings have been used to hurt GLBT people. The task force will continue to study same-sex relationships. The draft social statement on human sexuality will go up for a church assembly vote next year. Lutherans have been debating the issue of homosexuality for years.
The anti-gay group, the American Family Association, recently ended its boycott of Ford vehicles. The two-year boycott, which was started because AFA was upset that Ford donated to LGBT organizations and pride parades, and advertised in LGBT publications, came to a halt because the conservative group said the company has met most of its demands. However, Ford released a statement saying that its principles have remained the same and is committed to treating everyone fairly with respect, including our dealers, customers, and employees. The company said it will continue to have gay-friendly policies and market its products to the LGBT community.
Syphilis rates have increased in the U.S. for the seventh year in a row. The data shows that gay men are still largely impacted by the disease, and rates continue to climb among this group. Health officials and researchers believe a lack of awareness has a lot to do with the rate increases. Syphilis rates have also increased among women and African-American men.
The Queer Media and Entertainment Conference and AfterEllen.com announced a lesbian bisexual web series contest. They are seeking web series that feature lesbian and bisexual women or a lesbian bisexual storyline or theme. The winners will have their web series published weekly on AfterEllen.com. Deadline for submissions is April 15th. Up to three winners will be announced in May. See AfterEllen.com for more.
And speaking of lesbians, lesbian talk show host Ellen DeGeneres attempted to call Republican Oklahoma State Representative Sally Kern during her show to discuss the politician's anti-gay comments. DeGeneres was unable to leave a message because Kern's voicemail was full, but said on air, "Give me a call. I'm here usually, and also later I'll be at the Dinah Shore tournament, and of course that's if it doesn't conflict with the women's basketball games I go to."
And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
This is Judy Tenuta, the love goddess, and you're listening to Queercast. It makes my hormones slam dance. It could happen.
And we are back. Okay, we were talking about grace and manners, and definitely from the small, and maybe we've forgotten about them, to top leaders fell from grace this week. I mean, I guess the biggest one for us in the gay community is a state representative of Oklahoma and Republican, Sally Kern, who came out this week. In our news this week, that said that homosexuality was the biggest threat to the nation, even more so than terrorism and Islam. Is this woman insane? She is insane. Now, of course, she thought she was speaking to Republicans. In this day and age, you can think you're talking to whomever you think you are, and more than likely with MP3 recorders and camera video recorders, and you're talking to the world. Right? I mean, is there anywhere private? And now our phones are being tapped. I mean, you and I are being tapped right now if we weren't recording this to put out on a podcast. Aztec.
Beautiful.
You know, with the Bush administration, the Patriot Act. I mean, you can't say shit behind closed doors anymore, Sally. Is this what she's learned this week?
I think my favorite thing that she said is that the homosexuals are trying to indoctrinate all the school children under the age of 12.
That's fun, isn't it?
I thought that was freaking brilliant. Listen, this woman, and first of all, her son is a great big huge flaming homo.
Well, he's going to come out and deny that. We're going to do a news story on that later in the week. But yeah, he's already denying. He's swimming backstroke out of that.
Well,
right
it's
now.
Not only, I mean, he literally has said that he's celibate because, wait a minute, I pulled up the quote.
He's non-practicing probably, right? Like if they don't practice, then they don't know how to do it and therefore they're not, right?
He said, I have the quote literally right in front of me. Look at how professional I am.
Jesus. I love it.
I know, it's good. He said, the purpose of sex is reproduction, and it is the function of the animal body. But we are more than animals, and we can use sex for a tool of deep relationship with another person. He said, there needs to be honor in any relationship, whether it is straight or gay. Now, here's a guy who's celibate.
Yeah.
Who has a Republican mother.
Yeah.
Who is a homophobe.
Yep.
And this little boy is a music teacher.
This breaks my heart, this part.
Gay! So this guy is just...
You can't help who your parents are, and then if they're a public figure, it's horrible. Imagine growing up in that house. I mean, many of you listening to this did grow up in that household. Your mom just wasn't a state representative, or your dad who hated you or threw you out because you're gay. But it's awful. That breaks my heart.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely living in his own lie, and he's terrified that it's so weird. You know, when these whacked out Republicans come out, and I'm talking about the extremists because I have Republican friends.
Yes.
So when these really crazy crackers Republicans come out and start condemning one thing or another, that usually, though, it's like that old Chris Rock joke. Usually who you hate ends up in your family.
Yeah.
And that's
there
just
they are.
The long of it. I mean, this poor child, this guy, whatever his name, what's his name? I'm looking at the thing right now. What the heck is his name?
I can't remember his name.
I'm looking at
Eric or something like that.
What the hell is it? Jesse Kern.
There you go.
So when, like, you know, little Jesse is running around, you know, thinking, oh, God, these thoughts are ungodly and they're this and that and the other. And then his mother is going, I think that homosexuals should be killed in the head with a rock. I mean, you know, this poor child is grown up like that. So, you know,
they're worse than people that fly planes into the trade towers is essentially what she's saying.
It's
and we
just,
walk among, you know, we walk among you.
Right. Night of the Living Homosexual.
It's like you don't know who they are. It's like,
that's right.
I don't know, like it's like an episode of Aliens where it just in any moment, you know, a fist is going to come out of their anus or something. And
I know, like the homosexuals are going to eat your face off or something.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, every time these Republicans, these nut burgers come out with their hate speeches for whatever, for, you know, race or religion or, you know, sexual, whatever it is that they come out about, usually somebody that they hate ends up in their family. So
let's go to Governor Spitzer once again. That's just
Spitzer. Spitzer. I don't even know her.
That's exactly right. Can you believe this shit? And then, okay, I mean, if you have to be living in a cave, and I don't know why you'd be listening to a podcast if you are, but
Downloading porn.
Yeah, downloading porn. But of course, everybody knows that the governor of New York resigned this week after the huge prostitution ring that he was involved in. but can I just, because we could talk about him and bad choices, and, you know, obviously he came out, he's such a conservative, came out and against these things in the same way that Sally Kern is coming out because that lives under her house. But I, once again, I don't know, maybe I'm just a bleeding heart this week, but I'm having such compassion for that wife. And I read this article about all of these wives. I think it was the mayor of Detroit. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
I can't remember his name.
Uh-huh.
You know, he had the affair and his wife had to sit by his side. Then we had Larry Craig's wife in the past 8 months or whatever, who came to the podium. I mean, it's this, and then we have McGreevy's wife, which was a while ago. But in the Tribune, they showed these pictures of all of these women and the way their chins are kind of down and they're kind of gazing up at their husband standing to his right while he announces to the world that he's a big fuck up or a big gay man who's a homophobe or he's in the middle of a prostitution ring or, you know, it's, I feel for these women. And yet we've got a woman running for president who many people hate her for staying with her husband. She baffles
me. Well, look, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up because that's actually what I was going to say. And I'd like to add one more. Actually, two more very famous women to that list, one being Eleanor Roosevelt and the other one being Jacqueline Kennedy.
Yeah.
I mean, those women did the exact same thing for years.
Has it ever been reversed, though? This is once again why sexism, based on my last podcast, I can't stop talking about this shit, but the inherent sexism of our country.
Yeah. Well, again, you're talking about, you know, double standards again. You know, we blame the men and say they're assholes and we come down very hard on them. And yet we, you know, when the faucet leaks, we wonder where dad is with the wrench. So, you know, it's a very strange double standard that we all fall into, men and women, gay, straight, black, white, blue, orange, whatever, you know. So we always want daddy to take care of the country and mom to make sure that the house is running correctly. I don't care how much feminists are.
And that dad's okay, which is what it is about these women standing. And, you know, it's a personal thing. So I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just saying we continue to show these examples to our, you know, and I think it's good to stay. I don't know. It's just so, it's so strange to me that we have yet to see the reverse.
Yeah, that's funny. I never thought about that. That's interesting.
We just don't.
I wonder, well, think, well, you know,
we?
Again,
I would storm off.
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, again, we go back to well, we haven't had any females run the country.
No.
You know, we haven't had any females in major positions. I mean, Nancy Pelosi was like a big, big deal. So females being in control of a massive amount of power isn't the norm.
Yeah.
So we really don't have a basis of comparison yet.
Yeah.
You know?
It's
interesting. It's interesting to think about that. You know, when Spitzer came out and he did his apology, which I must tell you, I thought was the funniest damn thing I'd ever seen in my life. It was so weird, his apology, because it really was like, it wasn't like, I'm sorry, and I did this thing, and it's terrible, and oh my God. You know, and Clinton's apology was very scripted, and I've misled the public, and you know, all this stuff. But Spitzer came out, and he was like, this is exactly kind of what he did. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this. Please forgive me. I had an affair.
I'm android.
It was so weird. It was like, I wanted to go, honey, we can hear you. It's all right. And I so wanted his wife, who was sitting there or standing there with her eyes darting back and forth. I wanted her in the middle of his speech to just tap him very politely on the shoulder and have him go, yes. And her to just go, you know what? I want a divorce and just walk off.
Oh, God.
And just to see, like, how he would continue. You know, that she waited all day for this moment where on national television, when he's giving his insane I'm sorry speech, that she chooses that particular moment to go, you know what? You're an ass, and I'm leaving you. You know, very quiet, very calm, and she just walks off camera.
Yeah.
I just thought that would have been brilliant.
Wow. I like, how to would make that would... movie. Make that movie of the week.
That's a
just
good one, isn't it?
Just have the ending change. I would like that.
With Marlo Thomas.
With Marlo Thomas. Hey, we did have a gal from the past who came in some trouble with the law this week. Marianne from Gilligan Island. Dawn
the professor
Wells.
And Marianne.
69. Can you believe she's 69? And now she's under 6 months probation for having pot on her. Being a big old pothead.
I know.
What else are you going to do on an island except get high all the time?
Oh, listen. A friend of mine who I won't mention was one of her many, many, many personal assistants.
Yep.
And years and years and years ago told me, literally said, you know, she's the nicest, funniest, sweetest, greatest person. And she's so, you know, like she's everything that you want her to be. She's very Marianne in her life. She goes, and she is a gigantic pothead.
There you go.
And I was like, oh my God, that's fantastic. And now, you know.
Man, she made it to almost the age of 70, though, without having trouble with the law over it.
No, right?
Crazy.
What happened, Marianne? What happened in your life? You know what was funny is, did you see her mugshot?
Yes.
She is cuckoo as a coconut, honey.
She is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Literally, her mugshot is like, like it literally looks like she stuck her vagina in a socket. She just, her whole face is like, like, what are you doing there, Dawn Wells?
Yeah. Anybody ever got a mugshot of you?
I actually was in jail for 48 hours. You know that story, don't you?
I don't.
I was, well, I'll make it very quick. I was walking, this was many, many years ago when a male could not dress as a female. It was against the law. And if you dressed in female clothes, you had to have on two articles of what they used to call male clothing. Now, this is true. And so I was walking across the street. Literally, I was walking across. Now, granted, I was a prostitute at the time, but I was not working. I was simply on my way to get cigarettes. And so I was going to get cigarettes. And I was in a little, I guess I was in an what you might call outfit at the time. And I had a little, you know, bandana thing across
my
boobage.
Can you describe your little outfit for me? Just so I can see, because I can paint the scene for me just a little
bit. It's really good. No, it's really good. You're going to like this. My hair, I had very, very short hair because my hair was growing out at the time. And so I would take a curling iron, you know, one of the really, really thin ones, and curl my hair really, really thinly. And so I would have like a fro, like a Greg Brady fro that I thought was extremely feminine. And so I had a bandana, a pink and white, I can't believe I remember this so vividly, pink and white striped bandana tied across
my bosom.
And then I had a really short pinstriped red and white miniskirt that went up to half my thigh. And then I wore white lace-up wedgies.
Oh, of course you did.
And that's how I went to the store.
And that's how you went to jail.
That's how I went to jail, because I was going to the store and this cop car pulled up and they were like, woo! And I was like, oh shit. And I, like I said, I wasn't working. I was just walking. And so they got out, and you know, they just wanted to harass me. And so they got out and they said, where are you going? And I said, I'm just going to get cigarettes. I'm just going to, well, you can't walk. Do you have on tube socks, boxers? I'm not kidding you. My hand to God, if I'm lying to you. And I said, what? Because I had never heard of this. I'm like, what are you talking about? And they said, well, you have to come in the car because you're under arrest for being what that thing that you are with the bandana. I don't remember what they called it. They called it something. It wasn't vagrancy. They called it something like, I don't know, poopy dressing.
They didn't call it a tranny mess, did they? That would be
They didn't call it that. You're under arrest for being a tranny mess.
That would have been Christian Siriano. You are not fierce. You are a tranny mess. You're coming to jail for 48 hours.
I would have been highly insulted.
I'm sure you would have.
I would have taken my indignance elsewhere.
Taking your indignance elsewhere. Well, folks, it has been so fun hanging out with Alexandra Billings. Alex will be on our next show when our guest will be the fabulous mess that she is, Amy Sedaris. This is an all-time high. Love talking to Amy Sedaris. So we hope you'll check out the next Queercast. If you're not subscribed to us, it's so easy. Go to iTunes and search under the podcast for Windy City Queercast and make us your free subscribe. You will get our new shows right into your iTunes player every time you log into iTunes. They will just come directly into your mailbox, and then you can sync us up and take us off your iPod or MP3 player, or you'll just have them in your desktop there to listen to while you're answering emails. So if you're listening to us on a live feed, start subscribing. It's free, and you'll get our shows every time they are new and coming out to the ooh-sphere. That's what I technically call it.
Did you say ooh-sphere?
The ooh-sphere. That's what I like to call it. I don't like to say the internet. It sounds so clinical. Isn't ooh-sphere far more fantastic?
Don't ever say that again.
All right. I won't touch your ooh-sphere.
Don't touch it.
Just the rim of your ooh-sphere, but not... I won't touch it.
I'm going to vomit.
Don't fight the feeling, Alex. We'll be back. Have a good day. Wow. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.